Gamage of Stockholm. This is Spielpod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from sunny Sweden. Today is Thursday, the 26th of June, 2014. On this date in 1541, conqueror of the Incas, Francisco Pizarro, is assassinated in Lima by Spanish rivals. 1718, Peter the Great's son mysteriously dies after being sentenced to death by his father for allegedly plotting against him. 1723, after a siege and bombardment by cannon, Baku surrenders to the Russian army. 1907, giant bank robbery by Stalin and crew on Freedom Square. 341,000 rubles, now about $4 million, was taken and 40 people were killed. 1917, the first U.S. troops arrive in France. 1945, the U.N. Charter is signed at the Herbst Theater on Van Ness Street in San Francisco. 1948, the U.S. begins the Berlin airlift. 1953, Lavrent Iberia, head of the MVD, is arrested by Khrushchev and other members of the Politburo. 1963, U.S. President John F. Kennedy gives his Ich bin ein Berliner speech in Berlin. Best of luck to the soccer team, by the way, this afternoon. 2000, Bill Clinton announces the completion of the first survey of the entire human genome. And 1 year ago today, the U.S. Supreme Court rules that Section 3 of the Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional and in violation of the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution. Birthdays today are Big Bill Brunsey, Babe Dietrichson, Pearl Buck, Peter Lorre, Abner Doubleday, and Aruna Roy. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. Thanks again for posting to our forum. Happy to see the You-Know-Count is back, along with comments about Punjabis. If you'd like to comment on our blog or ask a question, go to tapilpod.com or send us an email at tapilpod@gmail.com. Tomorrow, on the 27th of June, Georgia will sign the association agreement with the EU in Brussels. Minister of Foreign Affairs Maya Panjakidze said that President Georgi Margvelashvili will not take part in the Georgian delegation. Georgia will be represented by the Prime Minister, the Foreign Economy and Justice Ministers, the Minister of European Integration. Prime Minister Irakli Kharabashvili will sign the agreement. According to Panjakidze, the leaders of the 28 EU member states will attend. On the 23rd of June, the European Commission released a statement about the association agreement with Georgia, the Republics of Moldova, and Ukraine. According to the Commission, the agreements aim to deepen political and economic relations between the EU and the signatories and gradually integrate them into the EU internal market, which entails creating a deep and comprehensive free trade area between the EU and each of these countries. The EU will work with the three Sinese governments and businesses to upgrade goods, industries, and the necessary standards will create good trade conditions. The statement says that when the reforms are completed, it predicts an economic growth rate of 4.3% per year. On Friday, the 27th of June at 9 p.m., the government will hold a big outdoor concert in Tbilisi to celebrate the signing of the agreement. Georgian singers will perform, and there will be speeches by Kharabashvili and Margvelashvili. The Georgian delegation, which will attend the signing ceremony in Brussels, will also be present at the concert in Tbilisi the same evening. The tussle about Margvelashvili attending and signing is silly and shows a dangerous contempt for elected office. But this will still be a great day for Georgia. The important thing is to watch what's next related to visas and how does this influence the economy. On the 19th of June, InterpressNews.ge reported, without providing a source, that UNM MPs Zura Japaridze and Irma Nadarishvili were detained at the Baku airport with large amounts of undeclared cash and electroshock devices. The Georgian ambassador to Azerbaijan, Temur Shadashinidze, denied reports about them having electroshock devices, but said that the embassy was informed by Azerbaijani authorities and that the MPs were stopped at the airport regarding undeclared cash amounting between $500,000 and $1 million. Later in the evening, Georgian Dream released a statement saying that the UNM is not giving up using black money and illegal methods. Upon arrival in Tbilisi from Baku late the same day, the members of parliament told journalists that they were stopped by the Azerbaijani customs officers but were let go not long after a thorough search, found nothing illegal in their possession. After missing their flight, the MPs went back to the city and returned to the airport later to catch the next flight to Tbilisi. MP Japaridze said that the Georgian embassy staff were at the airport asking customs officials about how much money and electroshock devices were found on the MPs, and that he was then thoroughly searched a second time. Foreign Minister Maya Panjakidze said that Tbilisi requested Baku provide information about what happened in the airport. The Azerbaijani ambassador in Tbilisi, Azer Hussein, spoke with the foreign ministry over the issue but declined to comment after the meeting. Weird. On the 19th of June, President Margvelashvili appointed Parliamentary Secretary Dato Pattaraia as his new Chief of Presidential Administration, replacing Lasha Abashidze. On the same day, he appointed the head of the Tbilisi-based think tank International Center for Geopolitical Studies, Tengiz Mkhaladze, as his new foreign policy advisor, replacing Vana Machavadiani, his old friend. As a reminder, Abashidze and Machavadiani suddenly resigned from their posts on the 13th of June. Vana Machavadiani said that the government distanced itself from the president and his administration after BI publicly criticized Margvelashvili in March, and that differences between the government and the president regarding the constitution of Georgia was also a big problem. According to Machavadiani, the government did not like that Margvelashvili developed his own foreign policy vision for the country because they interpret the constitution saying that the president should not be doing that. So you know Vana Machavadiani had been Georgia's ambassador to Japan. Central Election Commission announced that a repeat vote would be held on the 29th of June at 7 precincts where results from the 15th of June local elections were canceled. Among the precincts which will hold another first round in voting, two are in Marneuli, where the results were discarded after the UNM released a video allegedly showing ballot stuffing. I mean, it wasn't allegedly. Like, it really showed ballot stuffing for those who saw the video. It was very funny. That was the one when the UNM observer said he was hungry and just left and left the camera rolling. And they all got very excited about that and the opportunities it presented. Repeat elections will also be held in Khoni's 22nd precinct, where on election day someone broke into the precinct and smashed some ballot boxes. That was the village of a guy who's serving in prison who would have won if not for that village. And so it might change the results. The 2nd and 5th precincts in Tribouli, in Anaklia's 32nd precinct, and in Kobuleti's 34th. Second round of local elections will most likely be held in mid-July. As a reminder, with 100% of the votes counted for all precincts, Georgian Dream candidate Dato Narmania has 46% of the votes in Tbilisi, Nika Melia from UNM, 27%. On the 19th of June, UNM released a video of two precinct election commission members in the village of Koki in Zugdidi municipality showing a colleague their marked ballot papers before casting them in the ballot box on the 15th of June elections. The precinct election commission members looking at her colleague's ballots is Norma Narmania, the mother of Tbilisi mayoral candidate Dato Narmania. After one of the precinct members shows her ballot to Narmania, apparently to demonstrate that Georgian Dream had been marked on the ballot, another precinct member tells her that it's not allowed to share her ballot. Some election observing groups said it was a violation of the right of secrecy of the ballot. Commenting on the issue, Narmania said that his mother's action was due to motherly care and had nothing to do with violating the law. The District Election Commission of Zugdidi Municipality later discussed the matter and decided to issue a warning to Nora Narmania and some other members of the precinct. On the 25th of June, NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen said that the NATO summit in Wales in September will not be about a membership action plan for Georgia. Instead, NATO will develop a substantive package to help Georgia come closer to the alliance. Reuters earlier reported, citing an unnamed NATO diplomat, that around a dozen of NATO's 28 members, Germany and France among them, are reluctant to grant Georgia a map at the summit in Wales. As a reminder, at the 2008 Bucharest summit in May, NATO leaders refused to offer map to Georgia, but pledged that Georgia will join NATO sometime in the future. There's lots of discussion about that. It was evidently Merkel who felt very strongly about that. Bush had been pushing for it to happen, but didn't have a whole lot of Jews at that point. And as everybody knows, it did not happen. And the idea was, does Russia get a veto over membership and all that sort of stuff? And then, of course, a few months later was the war, and was it somehow responsible for it? Grigory Karasin, Russia's deputy foreign minister, told RIA Novosti that Russia thinks Georgia should take the first step towards restoring diplomatic relations, adding that it wasn't Russia that broke off diplomatic relations in August 2008. Zhura Abashidze, the prime minister's representative for Russian relations, replied that restoring diplomatic relations with Russia is not on the agenda today unless there is progress in regulating the conflicts in Abkhazia and South Ossetia. The newly elected speaker of the South Ossetian parliament, Anatoly Bibilov, told Itar Tass news agency that the government is going to hold a referendum on joining Russia. Bibilov's statement coincided with the visit of Russian President Vladimir Putin's aide, Vladislav Surkov, to Skhinvali. Bibilov's party, Edinaya Ossetia, meaning United Ossetia, received 46% of the votes in parliamentary elections on the 8th of June. One of Bibilov's pre-election slogans was to unite with North Ossetia and join the Russian Federation. On the 18th of June, the South Ossetian government recognized the self-proclaimed Lugansk People's Republic in eastern Ukraine, which was proclaimed on the 27th of April, followed by a referendum held on the 11th of May. South Ossetia is so far the only body which has recognized the new Lugansk mini-state, which appealed to the Abkhaz and South Ossetia, Armenia, Belarus, Chechnya, China, Cuba, Ingushetia, Kazakhstan, Nicaragua, Russia, Serbia, Syria, Transnistria, and Venezuela for recognition. Quite a collection. Afterwards, on the 21st of June, the self-proclaimed Donetsk People's Republic formally requested South Ossetia to recognize its independence as well. On the 24th of June, the Constitutional Court ruled that a law adopted by Parliament in June 2013 imposing a moratorium on selling agricultural lands to foreigners is unconstitutional. According to the amendment, selling agricultural lands to foreigners was suspended until the 31st of December 2014. With the help of Transparency International lawyers, the hardest working NGO and lawyers in the Caucasus, TI Georgia employee and Tpielpod.com mascot Matthias Hooter, a citizen of Austria, appealed to the decision in the Constitutional Court. The restriction should be lifted as soon as the official decision of the court is released. Nicely done, TI lawyers and Matthias. Government intends to limit giving bonuses to state officials. It would apply both the amounts given and the rules for their issuance. The new limits will be that a bonus can be received only once a quarter. It cannot exceed the recipient's salary and may only be issued on the basis of a written order from higher ups. The bill does not say anything about salary increments. According to the lawyer Amidan Gigoashvili, who formerly worked for the Ministry of Finance, regardless of whether it's called a bonus or a salary increment, it should be made clear to society what's going on is official and that officials are being given more money. Non-governmental organization IDFI conducted a study of officials' income and found that the practice of giving bonuses in state institutions that exceeded actual salaries continues. For example, in 2013, the Minister of Defense received an award of 82,000 lari. State Minister for Reintegration, Pata Zakharashvili, received 51,000 lari. The Minister of Culture, Guram Odishadia, 50,000 lari. Otherwise, their salaries are 3,500 lari per month. Also, in June, the outgoing Tbilisi Sakrabulo awarded itself 300% of their salary in bonuses for officers and 200 for other staff. City Council statement explained the staff work overtime to implement each project in the city, and staff should be motivated by period bonuses. The final decision to issue these awards was taken by a multi-bureau of the City Council, which includes the majority party as well as the various opposition parties. What this really shows is that there has never really been any serious civil service reform, which is desperately needed so that civil servants can work under different administrations and aren't all fired and hired based on loyalty. But sitting governments don't want to do this because they'd prefer to be flexible and pay all of their buddies huge bonuses and hire and fire at will, especially around election time. The State Audit Office claimed that in the end of May, the Georgian Dream received an illegal donation of 40,000 lari from two companies, Geo Spirit Prom and Dugladze's Wine Company. According to the monitoring service, the founders of both companies are Russian citizens, which violates Georgia's law, which says that political parties can only receive donations from citizens of Georgia. On the same day, the Georgian Dream issued a statement saying that it transferred the donated money back to the two companies. As a reminder, the State Audit Office was granted the power to fine political subjects, companies, and individuals for financial violations in late 2011. Georgia's standing in the latest Global Peace Index improved by 28 places. It is now 111 among 162 countries, according to the 2014 index, which measures countries' relative peacefulness. Georgia had the most significant increase in peace and improvement in political stability. The most peaceful countries are Iceland, Denmark, and Austria, while Syria and Afghanistan are at the bottom of the list. Russia is number 152, Ukraine 142, Armenia 97, beating Georgia, and Azerbaijan 123. According to the U.S. State Department 2014 trafficking report, the Georgian government does not fully comply with the minimum standard for the elimination of human trafficking. The document says that the absence of a functioning labor inspectorate for the identification of cases of labor trafficking continues to be an issue of concern. The government adopted a new military strategy of Georgia, which says that the military has a defensive character and will defend Georgian territories from possible future aggression. The army is now divided into eastern and western groups. The joint headquarters are now called the general headquarters. On the 24th of June, there was an opening ceremony for a new U.S.-funded maritime operations center in Supsa on the Black Sea coast. According to the Interior Ministry, the center will increase the Georgian Coast Guard's capabilities to monitor, react, and prevent maritime incidents, especially regarding trafficking of narcotics and contraband. U.S. Ambassador to Georgia Richard Norland visited the facility alongside Interior Minister Alexandre Tshehidze. On the 21st of June, a UNM activist, Levan Tetemadze, was attacked and beaten by unknown men in the center of Batumi. He was hospitalized with injuries to his face and head. In a separate incident in Zugdidi, activist Levan Toria from Free Zone, a group affiliated with UNM, said that he was attacked by a group of Georgian Dream activists when he was on his way home. Opera Australia terminated Georgian soprano Tamar Iveri's contract over her outrageous statements against LGBT people. Last year, Iveri posted a letter to then-President Saakashvili on her Facebook page calling LGBT people fecal masses and deviants and defended the homophobic violence of the 17th of May 2013. Opera Australia said that Iveri's statements were unconscionable. Foreign media outlets reported that Brussels Opera House also dropped Iveri from one of its upcoming productions scheduled to take place next year. Iveri posted an explanatory note on her Facebook page saying that her husband was using her Facebook account at the time and posted it under her name. Just a reminder, Iveri apologized for her remarks last year, but she did not deny that she herself wrote the homophobic remarks, citing that she was misinformed about the 17th of May rally. Yuri Vardarian was appointed as the new Armenian ambassador to Georgia. The previous ambassador, Ovanis Manukyan, is Armenia's new minister of justice. Vardarian is a former minister of sports. According to the American oil and gas company Frontera Resources, which has been punching holes in Georgia for many, many years, since 1997, they discovered 42 billion cubic meters of gas at the Mtsare Hevi deposits in Kakheti Sagarejo district. The company's president, Steve Nikandros, explained that this means that in the future, Georgia will not have to import gas. Oh, the curse of hydrocarbons. Let's hope it never really happens. To Georgia. The director of the construction company, Iberia City, was arrested by the Ministry of Finance for fraud. The investigation established that between the years 2005 and 2008, Gio Gogiberidze signed contracts with citizens on behalf of his construction company, Iberia City Limited. He was contracted to build flats in the vicinity of the Georgian Technical University and register the apartments to the contracted citizens after construction was completed. Instead, he mortgaged the apartments as if they were his property and sold them to other people who weren't the contract signees. According to the investigation, his illegal income amounted to $1.5 million. That was a little short-sighted. From the 1st of September, pharmacies will be forbidden to sell Group 2 drugs without a prescription in Georgia. Finally! The group includes antibiotics, medicines used for cardiovascular diseases, as well as hormonal, endocrine, and oncology products. The Ministry of Health said that the reason behind the change is to reduce the high drug use, drug abuse of easily accessed prescription drugs for self-treatment. This is a great thing. As many of you know, Georgia has some of the most prevalent strains of drug-resistant tuberculosis in the world. And everybody's got to worry about how antibiotics don't work so well anymore. On the 1st of July, despite the fact that Georgia has lots of phages and phage research going on the 1st of July, Ukraine Airlines Yan Air is launching a new regular flight from Kiev to Tbilisi and Batumi. Flights from Kiev to Tbilisi will be scheduled three times a week on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. Passengers traveling between Kiev and Batumi will be able to fly twice a week on Wednesdays and Saturdays. The International Fund of the Unity of Orthodox Peoples will hold a festival, The Voices of Orthodox Russia, in Georgia in September. According to the organizers, the festival will take place within the framework of the normalization of relations between Georgia and Russia. Festival participants will perform Russian spiritual music. Aww. On the 18th of June, the EU Alumni Association of Georgia held its first, it's actually its second annual General Assembly meeting. The meeting was opened by a lecture by Ambassador Diana Janse, Swedish ambassador to Georgia, about the challenges in diplomacy today. The assembly was open to everybody. Congratulations to the newly elected board members and the new chair, Sofia Tsakadze, and the deputy chair, Khatuna Kahiani. A big thanks to Anna Tevzadze for being the first chair of the European Alumni Association of Georgia board. To get updates from the European Alumni Association, like their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/EAAGeorgia. For those who don't know, this is an organization open to anybody. For those who'd like to serve on the board, you must have studied or taught in a European university for at least one semester. They've got lots of events, activities, and networking going on, all focused generally around Europe House. Parliament is still on break due to the second round of local elections. In Kvitis Azrevi this week, writer Shota Iatashvili talked about the famous saying in the early 20th century from Galaktion Tabidze, quote, everything is extremely good and everything is extremely bad, end quote. Iatashvili argues that society's approach towards this phrase is dichotomized. One half tries to live according to the first part, everything's extremely good, and half according to everything is extremely bad. The writer continues that politicians manipulate people's perceptions of good and bad times, making people believe in false realities and thus creating or demonizing false hopes. Demolishing false hopes. Iatashvili believes that we need to learn living in both aspects at once, the good and the bad, and believing only one part is a grave mistake for any individual. The meme this week is a photo that was popular on Facebook of a Georgian parking guru, meaning not so much of a guru, who managed to park his BMW on some stairs on a sidewalk in front of Tbilisi State University. Things to read. A fantastic article by Josie LeBlond in The Guardian. Georgian pro-Russian group planned fake pride march to scupper EU deal, which is what it says in the title. It's a great example of investigative journalism about an important topic that the international press doesn't often get. I really encourage everyone to take a look. Article in civil.ge about the 28th round of the Geneva talks on the 18th of June. Representatives from Sukhumi and Skhinvali, backed by a Russian negotiator, demanded the issue of displaced persons and refugees be removed from the Geneva talks agenda. The Geneva talks are co-chaired by representatives from the EU, OSCE, and UN, with participants from Georgia, Russia, the US, Abkhazia, South Ossetia. Discusses both security-related and humanitarian-related issues. An article by TI Georgia asserting the activities of majoritarian member of parliament bureaus through the country. TI's research generated additional information on issues such as costs incurred by MPs' bureaus, new employees, and legislative initiatives. Caucus's Analytical Digest number 63 offers a political ranking and evaluation of the three South Caucasus countries. A blog post by CRRC about trust in local government in Georgia. According to the article, there is an increased ambivalence over the last 2 years towards local government. Interestingly, trust in local government is much lower in Tbilisi and urban areas compared to rural areas. An article in Democracy and Freedom Watch about language barriers for Georgian ethnic minorities. According to the article, many school graduates from minority communities in Georgia face difficulties when considering whether to study at Georgian universities. Last week, more than 150 Azeri school graduates from Marneuli took prep tests to check how ready they were for upcoming national exams. Students Tural and Namik explained that until now they haven't had any issues, even though they don't know Georgian, but both think that it can become a problem if they go to Tbilisi to look for work. In an article by Dmitry Sukhodolodsky in Russia Beyond the Headlines about Soviet leaders' culinary preferences, according to the article, Lenin's contemporaries noted that his only food desire was a mug of good beer, while Stalin had to have more than 10 varieties of vodka and brandy on hand, including the famous Kizliar that Stalin personally sent to Churchill. Photojournalist Onik Krikorian has a piece in Medium on Azeri-Armenian coexistence and relations in a Georgian village. It's quite a nice piece. Take a look. Great pictures, as always, from Onik. All these things to read will be posted on our forum. This week's geocapital number is 19. That is the number of countries who have already signed an EU association agreement without actually advancing to EU membership. Turkey signed the agreement in 1964. Norway and Iceland signed in 1994. They are not EU members, but are part of the European Economic Area. Aminani Movie Theater, close to Philharmonia, has daily English movies you can watch on Friday the 27th of June and Saturday the 28th. How to Train Your Dragon 2 at 8 p.m. and Neighbors at 10:30. On Tuesday the 1st of July and Wednesday the 2nd, Transformers Age of Extinction 3D at 7 p.m. and 10:30. For the month of May, Dom Kino across from Rustavelli McDonald's will be showing on Friday the 27th of June, Stalker, Sunday the 30th of June, The Sacrifice. All movies start at 7 p.m. On the 4th of July at 9 p.m., MAD Festival presents Future Shorts Georgia's summer event at Grotto Passage in Tbilisi with visuals by 3D artist Laszlo Bordos, a.k.a. Bordos Artworks, well known for his fascinating projection mappings. Lineup includes Sicha, Siriusumo, and Epjack. Tickets cost 20 lari. For additional information, visit facebook.com/futuresshortsgeorgia. For those living or traveling in New York, there's a new Georgian restaurant, not in Brighton Beach or Coney Island or Outer Brooklyn, but in Manhattan. It's called Old Tbilisi, serves authentic Georgian food, including various regional Khachapuri specialties. Georgian husband and wife chef team Pikria Basaraya and Vano Kurtashvili will be importing all spices directly from Georgia to ensure their dishes are authentic. It's at 174 Bleecker Street in Greenwich Village. The first Tbilisi Wine Factory building, a cultural heritage site located at the end of Melikashvili Avenue on top of the hill, is now open to the public. It's in Veta. The formerly abandoned wine factory features two floors of below-ground level enoteca holding 40,000 wine bottles, some of which are over 200 years old. The collection includes bottles from the private collection of Napoleon Bonaparte and Stalin. The factory was built in the late 19th century as a project of Alexander Ozarov and financed by David Saraceshvili. On the 22nd of July, the Nectar Gallery in Tbilisi will host an exhibition about gender-based violence in Georgia called Supra of Her Own. That is at 16 Agmashinabeli Avenue on the 22nd. Save Europe's Heritage, in partnership with ICOMOS Georgia and the Tbilisi Heritage Group of the UK, will publish a report highlighting the beautiful but undervalued heritage of Tbilisi while supporting the group's advocacy for better urban planning and building preservation. The report will be in English and Georgian, with contributions from a variety of experts working in the UK and Georgia. While the project is made by many pro bono contributions of leading experts, it is in need of funds for the cost of translation, photography, and printing. Any level of donation would be gratefully received, and a £25 donation, they will send a copy of the finished report. You can donate via their PayPal account and visit Save Britain's Heritage website here, which is www.savebritainsheritage.org. Please add a comment to say that the donation is for Tbilisi. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website at www.tbilpod.com. And we'll finish with, from 1970, Rodriguez. If you haven't seen the documentary, see it. Sugar Man.
Sugar Man. Won't you hurry, 'cause I'm tired of these scenes. For a blue coin, won't you bring back all those colors to my dreams. Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane. Sugar Man met a false friend on a lonely, dusty road. Lost my heart when I found it. dead black hole. Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane, sugar man, you're the answer that makes my questions disappear. Sugar man, 'cause I'm weary of those double games I hear. Sugar man, sugar man, sugar man, sugar man. Hurry, 'cause I'm tired of these scenes. For the blue coin, won't you bring back all those colors to my dreams? Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane. Sugar man, met a false friend on a lonely, dusty road. Lost my heart when I found it. It had turned to dead black coal.